This is Maurice Jones-Drew, and you're listening to the What's Brewing Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for West Coast Bias, the show brought to you all the way from the best coast. It's the West Coast Bias, that is. Aw, yeah.
Hello. Welcome to a very brief West Coast Bias. Joined here by my good friend Jamal, artist.
What's up, fans?
At King's Pub at 1015. And we're going to do a very quick West Coast Bias here while we're waiting for the other boys to show up for the What's Brewing Show. But I am playing hurt, sick. My lungs are filled with smoke from a fire and cold that I caught from my high school daughter. So I'm going to do less talking, and I want to just hear Jamal react to some of the things that have been happening in the world of sports. Of course, it's a little bit late, and I apologize for that, but we haven't seen Jamal in a while. Dodgers go down in flames. By your prediction, losing in Game 5, Jamal, are you more vindicated or more angry?
I think more angry but resigned. Like, I was angry in the moment, but at this point, sure. I'm just resigned.
Yeah, and of course, you've had a few days to kind of even out over it. I remember right. You were pretty fired up via text when it was happening.
Yes.
And then, of course, the Godfather goading us all the way through.
Yes.
he as he's wont to do. I don't know why two of our closest friends are Cubby fans, and they both like to pile on whenever it happens to the Dodgers. Me, of course, I'm purely a playoff Dodger fan.
Of course.
I can't say I watched one moment of baseball other than the playoffs this season. But, of course, that's their fault because they rarely are on TV that I can watch. Not to say that I would, but I'm going to pin it on that.
I followed them on the road this year. So
yeah, I mean, you're as usual, true blue. A couple of things of controversy, like in the moment when it was happening, I was not screaming in terror as, you know, as documented by, you know, one Matt Money Smith and, according to him, everybody on Twitter.
Yes.
When Kershaw came in to get that, the final out of the
seventh
and then came back for the eighth. Were you screaming terror? And I apologize for my daughter in the background. She's playing some Japanese dance rhythm video game. But we don't have any standards on West Coast Bias.
I tweeted out when he came in the seventh, that it was a stupid move.
Oh, yeah.
And people got on me, especially when it worked, you know, where he got the strikeout and then they
put... So you weren't good with him coming in at all, period.
No.
End of story.
Yeah, I thought it was stupid.
Yeah.
And the reason I thought it was stupid, because they were fully healthy when it came to the bullpen arms. It's not like they'd used up a bunch of guys.
Sure.
And then when he came out in the seventh, I mean the eighth, I was even more... I couldn't believe it, because what my concern was, like, they're bringing him in just to face one guy. And I thought, well, you know, if he was supposed to be ready. So if it had gone longer, if somehow the Nationals had tied it without Kershaw pitching, I thought, well, you're going to need that arm to pitch some innings later on or something like that.
So maybe hold him in reserve.
Right. I thought yeah. I didn't understand why they had brought him in. And then when he came back on the eighth, I was like... Because I thought he was just going to pitch to one guy, and then when they brought him back on the eighth, I was like, "What's he doing going on the mound? He's done what he needed to do."
And it's funny, I didn't have that same thought, although I don't know this team or their rhythms nearly as well as you, but I was kind of the opinion, and I heard Ned Colletti say this on the radio a day later, but I was thinking, you know, if you're going to bring him in, you aren't going to just bring him in for one.
Right.
But then again, everybody else thinks that you should have.
Right. Yeah. And... The thing is, when you bring him in, he's facing a lefty, but the next guy is, you know, the guy everyone's talking about who might be the MVP
right.
is a righty. And then, yeah, you could have left him in for Soto if he got Rendon, because Soto's a lefty. But the problem is, you know, he didn't get Rendon. At that point, he didn't get Rendon. Yeah. He gave up a gopher ball, albeit Rendon hit the crap out of it with a golf swing. But
yeah, they said that was a good pitch. The second one, not so much.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things is, you know, yeah, it was low in the zone, but it was over the plate, so the guy could square up on it. So, and he just hit it. I mean, he does what he's supposed to do. He's an MVP candidate. And so then at that point, it's like, okay, now you got to take him out, because the next guy coming up is Soto, and Soto had only faced one lefty reliever the whole series and been gotten out every single time. You got a guy just for that. And he's fully healthy. He didn't come in the last game.
Fully operational.
Yeah. You just needed six. Even with Rendon hitting the home run, you still needed to get six outs. And so I just thought, well, see, there you go. You know, you shouldn't have brought him in. Now he's giving up a home run. bring in the guy that you want in there, and they didn't do it, and of course they got bit by it. And so by at that point, I was more angry with the Rendon thing because I thought, why did you leave him in to face a righty? At that point, that's when the resignation just kind of came in, where I was like, we're not winning this game.
Yeah,
you know, and it was an awful way for it to happen. And I immediately,
it was terrible because they controlled the game all the way up to that point.
Right. And yeah. I immediately blamed Dave Roberts because he's the manager. He should know. I don't care what the game plan is. He should have known at that point, I got to change things, you know, and this is what the biggest complaint that people have been saying over the last 2 years is he should have known at that point. Okay. He gave up the home run. Let's just take him out. We don't need him facing Soto.
It's game five. It's elimination. Right. No need to be cued at all. About
right.
Anything.
Exactly. And besides that, everybody after Soto was going to be a right-hander anyway. So why would you leave in the guy who's, you know, and Kershaw has given up a lot of home runs over the last 2 months. I think he gave up 18 between September. And then of course he gave up two home runs in that game. You know, at that point, I was just so disappointed that nobody had enough brains to figure it out. And especially when the whole season was, you know, is the bullpen going to be good in the end? And they didn't even go to it.
They didn't test it.
They didn't even test it. That was the whole point.
Do you think
point.
They didn't test it because there was such a question about it?
I think so.
Or you think they just wanted to Kershaw because they wanted to give him a chance to shine?
No, I think it's
for both.
I think it's a little column A and a little column B.
Yeah.
There were some points in the series where Joe Kelly didn't look effective. Urias had been used in game 3 and 4, maybe even game 2, and didn't look effective in game 4. So maybe he was a little, but at the same time, it's like, you know, you got Joe, you had Maeda ready to go. You know, and everything that comes afterwards is what makes me mad. Maeda struck out the side, and then Joe Kelly had an easy 1-2-3 inning, and then they bring him back out, even though he hadn't pitched back-to-back innings because of some injuries in September. And so then when he was taken out after giving up the grand slam, you know, Kenley had an easy going. So it was obvious you had fresh arms.
Well, and just the fact that you get the back-to-back home runs, and then they load the braces, and then they exclamation point grand slam it.
Right.
It's like, how does that? I mean, they were, like I said, the Dodgers were, they're not dominating that game. They had control of the damn game. Six outs away.
Right.
And now, would you rather have that game play out like it did, or would you rather have played out like it did in Atlanta that night, where the Braves were instantly down 10-0?
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
Just over.
Being down 10-0. Being
strung along.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Because you're six outs away, the guys that are coming up hadn't done much. Rendon, I think, had only gotten one hit. Soto had zero hits. You know, Kendrick, his only hit was the grand slam. I mean, those things.
Yeah, going along with like his 14 errors.
Right, exactly. He was going to be the goat of the series because of all the errors he had made.
Kershaw on a redemption. Guess who got redemption?
Yeah,
that son of a bitch.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I would have preferred.
It's Mikey.
I would have preferred the Atlanta way because you know what? That's what all the Dodger fans expect anyway, for them to go meekly. I mean, when they went up 3-0, I thought, oh, finally.
Yeah.
You know, especially against Strasburg, it's like finally these guys. For lack of a better term, sacked up.
They would have had just another like game 7, like they had
against the Astros, or you know, the defeatist way that they went down against the Red Sox last year.
How bitter are you that now the Nationals are what it looks to be?
They're going to sweep
six outs away from sweeping.
Yeah, no, they're 3 outs. I thought
mid 8th. I don't remember if they're home or away.
They're home, so they're 3 outs away. Yeah. They're home.
Three outs away. From sweeping the Cardinals.
Well, I'm pissed because
the Dodgers would have had very little resistance from the Cardinals.
The Dodgers are a better team than the Cardinals by far. The Cardinals have one pitcher. I mean, the one thing you can say about the Nationals is they have three strong starting pitchers, and then a guy who woke up in the playoffs, Anibal Sanchez. So the Cardinals literally had one guy, and they kept carting out Wainwright, who's 38. I mean, you know, I think
just brutal,
right? And a bunch of right-handers, which the Dodgers handle. You know, it's just this is where I am at right now. I'm just resigned. It's like it's getting to the point now where the Dodgers have their own. You know, everybody talks about the curse of Babe Ruth and the Cubs with their situation all the time. It's to the point now where the Dodgers have to fit in the Indians. You know, blowing Game 7s in their last two World Series. The Dodgers have to fit into that pantheon.
Yeah,
they have to. It's gut punch. You know, your grandmother getting run over, your puppy's getting shipped to war. It's just gut punch, gut punch, gut punch. And that's where I'm at. I mean, I'm just resigned. A couple years ago, I would have been angry, but now I'm just resigned. That there's no other feeling except to feel defeated when it comes to October and the Dodgers.
Yeah, it's got to be. And certainly this team is going to have some changes.
You have
now
to.
And next season.
You have right? to. I mean,
and so now it's kind of like an end of a, even though, you know, the management's still the same and
right.
and probably quite a few of the principals are still going to be the same.
Right. But there's certainly a core that might change because a lot of these guys kind of came together in 2015, 16 as they started getting rid of some of their veterans and shedding the money that they took on when the ownership first came on, you know. So I think you're going to see some changes just because some guys are up for free agency. Ryu took a 1-year option last year. He's going to look for multiple years now, especially since he's a Cy Young candidate. You know, he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. I don't think the Dodgers are going to do long term with him. You know, Rich Hill might retire. He's going to be 40. David Freese already said he's retiring. So a lot of the guys that we're used to seeing, I mean, there's speculation already that Corey Seager might get traded if they can find, because he's up to get paid and the team doesn't, I think the team would rather sign Bellinger long-term because of Seager's health issues and things like that. But that's just speculation, you know. The general manager had a press conference yesterday and he flat out said he doesn't know he's going to be the closer next year. He said we'll come to that when it's time to evaluate all that. So what does that mean for Kenley Jansen, you know? There's going to be a lot of changes, and I kind of feel like you have to. I don't know. There's some people who are mad about hearing about these changes, but you kind of have to. You can't run with the same team. It's 3 years in a row where a lot of these guys came together. They took the team to the World Series 2 years and then failed miserably in this NLDS. And every time they lose, it's for the same reason. They're not hitting well enough. The bullpen isn't structured right enough. Or, you know, Kershaw, another starting pitcher, falters when they're needed most. So I think you're going to have to expect changes for the team.
Okay, well, any final thoughts on baseball then?
Well, I was just going to say, I love baseball. You guys know
baseball
that.
Sucks.
I'm a big
Mike.
I'm a big nerd when it comes to baseball. One of my favorite things to do is on LASportsHub.com is to do
.com
is to write anything historical about the baseball stuff and bring up also. So, in regards to the Nationals, you know, we're talking about they're three outs away from the pennant. I mean, it's amazing the last time Washington D.C. had a World Series representative, Franklin Roosevelt was in his first term as president. That's how long we're talking about. This particular team started off in Montreal. They won their first playoff series that they played in, and then they haven't won another playoff series since. First of all, obviously they moved from Montreal to D.C., breaking hearts in Montreal. And then, of course, in this decade, the Nationals have had played in, I believe, four division series. They had lost all four in game five, except for one where they lost in four games on the road, but the other three they lost, including to the Dodgers in 2016, game five at home. I mean, this team has been very talented. You've got guys like Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, Bryce Harper was there before, Daniel Murphy, a lot of these guys, very talented team, and they weren't able to get over the hump. They started this playoff series.
I don't feel like I realize this is the Expos.
Yeah, this is the old Expos. They moved there in 2005,
nice.
Of course, after I moved from D.C., so I didn't get to see them. I've yet to see a baseball game in D.C. So there's a lot of historical significance of the Nationals being able to go to World Series. They have a great ballpark, from what I understand. It's nice that those fans who my understanding is have been very loyal. I mean, these poor guys, I'm telling you, the metro stops after midnight, and some of these fans have gotten stranded after those game five losses at the stadium, you know. And between they had the double boogeyman between them and the hockey Washington Capitals always losing year in, year out, and they finally got over the hump last year to win a Stanley Cup, and now this team is going to go to the World Series. You have to like the story narrative of the Nationals doing it. So as a baseball fan, I'm okay with the Nationals doing it, on top of the fact that they're beating the Cardinals into a pulp. And I'm hoping that their magic continues, whether they face the Astros or the Yankees. So that's where I stand with the way things are going right now.
Well said. Okay, well, what the F is going on with the Lakers, man? Season's almost started.
And boy, weren't we scared. Anthony Davis sprained his thumb, and we had to wait for the MRI. Of course, this is in China.
Thank God.
All that mess with...
Not that it was in China.
Right. But the mess that was happening on there, You know, we went from the games might not happen to Anthony Davis spraining his thumb.
And LeBron being mad because he might lose money.
Right, and LeBron being mad.
Daryl Morey's tweet.
Hypocrite!
And then everybody jumping in on him. Yeah. You know, before when they didn't want him to say anything, but then he says something about this, and then it becomes a big brouhaha, but whatever. And so anyway, but hey, Laker fan.
I hope he does his HBO show solely on this topic, because right. We really need to hear more of what he has to say.
Exactly.
Do we?
About everything.
But hey, Anthony Davis, grade one sprain. I did a little research. So essentially, he is day to day.
He jammed his effing finger, bro.
Right, no, he's day to day. He's played with a sprain in his thumb before. It was his left hand the last time.
That's good.
But a grade one sprain can have some small tears, but thankfully the MRI showed no structural damage.
That is good.
So I think he'll be ready for the first game, and I hope that the Lakers aren't scared off, trying to keep him healthy. And he plays on opening night, because I really think they look a hell of a lot better with Anthony Davis and LeBron James in the lineup.
Well, that's the scary thing, because I mean, you're already down Kuzma for however many games, and if you lose Anthony Davis, the one big
the roster looks terrible if they lose Anthony.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, that's why I understand why Lakers fans were freaked out. Especially since, you know, it was pretty much blackout other than what was actually happening in the game with them being overseas. That is a big sigh of relief in regards to everything that's happening right now.
Well, I watched the first preseason game, and I'm convinced they're going to go 8-2-0. So,
I watched last night's preseason game, and we might as well have called it the South Bay Lakers versus the Golden State Warriors.
I don't want to hear any more crap about Caruso, by the way, because
he was great. And I don't Jake, if Vogel is playing KCP and Rondo over him, because of locker room politics.
How he's played the last four games of being crappy in preseason?
No, Caruso?
Yeah, Caruso.
No, he was
terrible.
He was not terrible last night. I watched him. He was running the offense. You know what he does? He just does these little things. He's running the offense. Okay. They need somebody who can run an offense when the big guys go out. And he was able to do that. I mean, he was getting points for their draft pick. I forget what his name is, the second rounder who looked really good.
That guy kind of went off. Huh?
Yeah. And, and then he made KCP look good. There was a couple times where he's...
And that's saying something.
Yeah, exactly. Where he's throwing a lot. I mean, KCP went up for a lob from Caruso. He found him open for a three. I like Caruso. I think he's got a motor that when he puts it all together... They will look better than if it's Rajon Rondo, I can tell you that much, or KCP.
I guess we'll see. Because the one thing he hasn't done is played a whole lot with LeBron and AD at this point. So I guess that's...
And he looked really good when he was with LeBron.
I want to see all the prospective point guards running with those two.
Right.
And just let you know. Whoever is survival of the fittest, honestly. I mean, I don't really care if it's Rondo, and now I'm losing all my names, but the guy from Boston, Avery...
Avery Bradley.
It's okay. None of them will be here next year. So.
Well, you know, and then the other thing is, I mean, Dwight Howard looks pretty good.
Right?
He looks, and in defensively.
I mean, against the scrubs, but yeah.
But even in a defensive way. I mean, when they played in China against the Nets, who they were throwing their starters there, he looked really good because he was just a defensive beast. I mean,
all he has to do is do his job, man.
Double-double points, rebounds. I mean, if you get double-double points, rebounds from him a majority of the games.
That's a game changer.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
And this could be a second act, too. You know, obviously, he's been known...
15th act.
he's kind of, you know, been known as a guy who can't get it done anywhere in the last 15
kind of
teams.
Kind of a dick. Him and Chip Kelly have that in common.
There's so much that, and I think he realizes this. There's so much that he can do with this team, and obviously he's not, like you said. This team is nothing without AD or LeBron, which says something about how far Dwight Howard has fallen. But he's still a big guy who can take up space. He can apparently steal a ball on one side of the court and go coast to coast and, you know, dunk it on fools. You know, he still has talent. You know, he's not injury plagued. You know, he's not decrepit. But he's not what he once was. You know, I would say Orlando would probably be the peak of his athletic prowess.
But they don't need him to be what he once was. They just need him to do his job on this team. And
I think just doing that, having that focus, will help him to be successful for Dwight Howard on this team.
I'm telling you, he could very, because I, you know, I'm automatically predisposed to like the centers, and you know, obviously AD telling me he's not a center. I mean, so then who's my favorite player on this team going to be? I mean, I guess it's got to be Dwight Howard. So
you're torn. That's a
terrible. All I know is that for past or future NBA superstars or current NBA superstars, humility is not a usual facet of their personalities. Mm-hmm. I think all Howard needs to have is just a little modicum of humility, because he's fitting into a team with two, you know, people, you know, two at their peak. You know, pretty much. LeBron certainly still, you know, there, even if he's on the downside of that peak. And AD, obviously, they're the two showstopper, you know, spotlights of this team. But if he can do his job while fitting in, I mean, he's adds so much. I mean, so much.
Yeah, it's one of those things.
That's why you're so excited about Boogie.
Yeah, you can't.
But for a different reason.
You can't teach size, and he has so much of it that there were times in the games where, I know it's the Warriors B team, but you know, they couldn't get to the basket. They could not get to the basket. In this NBA, one of the things to do is get a guy to go towards the basket, because it causes the defense to collapse so they can hit outside shots. And when a guy can't get to the basket because you got somebody blotting out the sun the way Dwight Howard was in that game, then it's going to be a lot tougher to make the Lakers look bad on defense. Unlike last year, where it seemed like anybody can hit a shot on them.
And if they, throughout the entire game you have McGee, Howard, and Davis out there, at least one or two of them out there at all times,
right.
I mean, that's going to do a hell of a lot for your defense.
That's a lot of length. Yeah. That makes it a lot harder for teams to score at will the way they were last year.
So that's some good stuff. All right. Anybody have anything else to say about any of this?
Yeah.
Why do the Kings suck? Or are the Kings going to suck?
Oh, well, I wrote about that for LASportsUp.com.
They've been sucking, so...
Well, it's the blue line is inexperienced. They got a lot of defenders who are young, but the reality is they play better when Jack Campbell is in there, their backup, than with Jonathan Quick. He's not looked good at all. He's not seeing it. He's not moving athletically, and it's
he's definitely not the Quick of 12 or 14.
No. So, and it's starting to look like one of those things where they probably rode him for so long in the past that. That he's starting to break down, and it's sad. You know, we talk about Kershaw not doing it in the playoffs this decade, and then you got this guy who stepped up so much in the playoffs for a franchise that never had any sort of winning until he came along, to the point where you know, two Stanley Cups, can't ask for anything more.
Yeah,
and now he's on the downside, and it's hard to watch. Mike and I saw that firsthand the other night.
Painful.
On Sunday night, we went to the Kings game. And it was hard to watch. I mean, he gave up five goals. It's the, you know, he's given up on average seven goals through the season so far. So it's just a rough thing to watch. I'm sure a lot of Kings fans feel the same way.
Yeah. And did you hear the rumor apparently that Kings are shopping him around? The big one is that there's a potential trade between LA and the New Jersey Devils, basically straight up Jonathan Quick for Corey Schneider.
Wow.
So
I'm not surprised. They've been trying to his contract for this year looks bad, but then it looks better for his last 2 years. Somebody is willing to take up the last couple years. So I'm not surprised.
Do the Kings make the playoffs?
No.
They're too young. They're too young. Too inexperienced.
Is the Ducks
really
making the playoffs?
The Ducks probably have a better chance.
Yeah.
As long as they're healthy. They've played better this season.
Do the Lakers make the playoffs?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do the Lakers make the second round?
Yes.
Do the Lakers make the Western Conference Finals?
Yes.
Yes.
Do the Clippers make the playoffs?
Yes.
Do they make the second round?
Yes.
Yes.
Do they make the Western Conference Finals?
Yes.
Oh, my God. And those damn Clippers.
We didn't even plan this.
posed me, or for those Clippers crawling up my leg again, trying to get me to buy tickets, Jamal, after giving me such a hard time. And I just said, you know, I'm sorry, guys. I got too many tickets now. You guys missed your opportunity. But, has anybody taken a peek at the new look Clips so far, even without Paul George?
No, actually, have they even been on TV? No, I haven't gotten
they
a chance.
I even told this to Jamal the other day. I was like, you know, I'm interested. I'm intrigued in what they have, but I still just kind of just don't care right now. I mean, I'm sure I will. If they start to make some noise early in the season, obviously that's going to draw a lot of eyeballs towards them. But right now I'm just like, okay, Kawhi.
I'm looking forward to
George
some basketball this season.
There now. Yet, but,
and,
you know.
And I'm with you. I want to see them with Paul George. I mean, obviously I know Kawhi's talented.
It's kind of you're putting a pin in until then.
Right,
for sure.
Exactly.
And then I think that's going to allow guys like Montrezl Harrell and Patrick Beverley to step up and not have to take on a bigger role as they did last season. Obviously, you have two superstars now who will take the brunt of that load, and they can just be, you know, those role players who, you know, Beverly is just a defensive guy, and Harrell, you know, he's a younger kid, but you know, he can definitely have a solid role in the offensive game. But yeah, I'm intrigued, but I'm just, you know, until something actually happens, it's kind of like, well, you know, just wait and see. I just kind of don't care.
Yeah, I mean, and plus, I mean, everybody at this table, it's West Coast bias, but we're Laker fans, and what are you going to do about it? So,
yeah, exactly.
But we are intrigued by the old Clips.
Yeah.
Clips love out there. I don't know if she still listens to us, but good luck this season, I suppose.
Exactly.
All right. Well, what about, so we talked Dodgers. You got anything else to talk about?
I got one thing.
I'll be covering. Let's see. Galaxy have a chance to play. If Galaxy win their first round soccer playoff game, MLS playoffs, they will play LAFC for the third time, and I'll be at that game covering it. And that should be a wild one next Thursday, I believe.
Mike, I know you have something you want to get off your chest.
Yeah. There's just been a lot of.
Mikey, you
do a lot of news going on with a certain banner at Staples Center, and
you need
to
calm down, Mike.
I just need to need to vent because
just shake it off, Mike.
Well played.
You have a little bit of bad blood.
Having it, you know, it's not bad blood. It just doesn't make sense. It never made sense for me, and here are the reasons why.
Uh-huh.
Number one,
22 reasons.
I could if I'm that sore about it, but I'm not. It just doesn't make sense. Like, number one, in the rafters, there are only two things that the three, although only two teams have anything to hang. The Sparks. Let me add the Sparks. The Sparks, the Lakers, and the Kings have both championship banners and retired jerseys. Last I checked, having a record of sellouts for Staples Center is not a championship. That's a record. I don't recall any record banners hanging up in Staples Center. So the fact that Taylor Swift has a banner for that makes absolutely no sense. Number two, you usually hang banners of teams that play in that stadium on the regular.
Sure.
And who call that stadium home. Taylor Swift is from freaking Pennsylvania. You know, let the Pittsburgh Penguins or the Flyers / 76ers hang her banner up there. Number two, she hasn't played in Staples Center forever, and I think she's coming to LA soon, and she's not, I forget where she's playing, but it's not Staples Center.
She's playing at the new Rams. She's going to open the new Rams stadium.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, where's the love there? And the last thing, the banner... It has block letters, you know, kind of in a sports fashion, but it's also white, black, and orange. Every time I look up there, it looks like a banner representing the Anaheim Ducks, the rivals. Sorry, Jamal, they're rivals. The rivals.
They are not rivals.
They are rivals.
They are not rivals.
They are rivals.
They are not. Our rivals are the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah, they're right.
The Edmonton Oilers. The Flames.
So to have your rival a banner that looks like your rival's banner up there, it's just kind of a slap in the face. And you know that has nothing to do with the reason why Kings fans actually like it. They think that there's a curse, and I get that.
That's not necessarily true. A lot of people buy into that, but when it first went up, nobody liked it. Nobody thought Laker fans, Kings fans. Nobody thought it was a good idea for it to go up.
I know, and that's... No, exactly.
It has, you know, this curse thing has been thrown out there a bunch of times, but the Kings...
And well, that's the thing. I get the whole, you know, it might not be. You know, it also might be that the Kings have just plainly sucked in the last 5-6 years. But curses are a huge thing in sports. I mean, hockey beards. Come on. People, you know, players don't shave their beards for the length of the playoffs that they're in. I get it. It's superstitious. But like you said, you know... You know, nobody liked it up there. And obviously, you know, the Lakers aren't making a big deal about it. But think about this. What if Dropkick Murphys, by chance, was a big enough band to where they had, you know, a banner? They sold out Staples Center so many times. what would Lakers fans think if there was a green and white banner with a clover leaf up there? And sure, it says Dropkick Murphys, but if it looks like a Celtics banner, there would be such an upheaval from Lakers fans.
Of course, and, obviously.
Yeah, and
there's no green and white up there.
The Lakers are much too big to cover up. I mean, they don't cover up any banners. They celebrate the Sparks.
Well, they don't have to. They have a pretty much whole entire wall.
Yeah, they're on wall. They can paper. Yeah. They can paper the place. Yeah. With
this, if the Clippers ever win anything, I imagine I hope that the Lakers let that fly too.
Yeah.
It's like, what do we fucking care? You know?
Yeah, exactly. But no, that's just my thing. And you know, it's whatever. I'm not a Taylor Swift fan, and this has nothing to do with her music. but it was just a ridiculous idea from the beginning, and to continually have it there, especially when she doesn't grace its presence.
You'd rather the Kings leave it as a blank space.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Or put up something, you know, more noteworthy. I mean, for God's sake, the most sold out performances. Well, then why don't they have a banner for most sold out performances before she arrived? You know, last time the Lakers won a championship, did they cover up, you know, did they take down all the other banners? No, they're up there. So if you're going to be fair, Staples Center, be fair to all the performers that were once there.
I want to you can't convince me that Beyonce hasn't sold out more times than Taylor Swift in L.A. Come on. I don't understand why Taylor Swift is the only one. She's the only one who's sold out that many times. There's got to be other people who've sold out that many times.
Maybe that venue. Yeah. That's a lot of concerts if you think about it.
Yeah. There's been it's been there for 20 years. They can't be Taylor Swift. Can't be the all time.
No, I mean, how many artists have gone through there that many times? I believe it. I mean, 16 really? It's pretty big.
I don't know.
A lot of shows.
I don't know. I know Madison Square Garden does that stuff, but it's dumb. It's dumb. Don't put any of the music stuff up there. Just leave it sports. That's what it is. Just leave it as a sports venue, and that's it.
Yeah, put the banner on the Grammy Museum or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. go give her a little star next to the Grammy Museum.
Exactly. So that's my little
I wish you guys were bigger Taylor Swift fans, because I managed to break off about 10, 12 song titles on you there. Just went right over your head.
Come.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Sorry.
I got to shake it off because everyone's been a bit.
That was number two.
Using that
the Doobie Brothers should have a banner there.
Yeah. I used That'd You Need awesome. To Calm Down. I think I used 22. I used Blank Space.
Oh, that's
Bad
what
Blood.
That was. I was like 22. What the hell
Bad Blood, of course. You played with that one. That was good, Mike, because you didn't realize. I had a bunch in there. That was good.
Yeah, right. See, I, yeah.
All right, F this. Let's go.
Okay, let's get out of here. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you again for calling out from the West Coast, the best coast. We are West Coast Bias.
West Coast is the best coast, what I'm told.